Thank you, Brian. I don't think I can. No. And we did not coordinate it at all, because at first I was like, how am I going to start this? And it was also a traffic story, so evidently we share the same struggles there. I've been very thankful for Brian, who has done just a great job just trying to think about some of the music, too, that would maybe speak to what is going on with the message. And he contacted me this week about a song, and if I wanted anything in particular, I said, no, pick what you think makes sense. But I did share with him a little bit about what I was going to talk about. Before I do, though, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the people that are here today, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to worship you openly and freely. I thank you for your word, which speaks directly to our souls, Lord, and lays bare our hearts and our intentions, Lord. And it also shows us who you are and your character. It shows us our purpose for being here, to glorify and to be with you, Lord. And not only that, it helps us to see how that is possible, Lord, and that's through your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask your blessing on this time we spend together for the remainder of the worship service, and I would just ask that it would be your words and your Holy Spirit that's doing the work today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. much like Brian, I also do struggle with the traffic. If you think that I'm a nice person, you just have to sit in the car with me for about maybe 15 minutes in Raleigh traffic, particularly on a Friday afternoon as I'm driving back from Raleigh to Goldsboro after working and getting up at 3 in the morning to work to fly back to Baltimore, and then sitting around a terminal waiting for a flight that is delayed and answering questions about where's the plane coming from, why is it delayed, when will it be here, when will it leave, and I'm just like, no, I just want to get home. I want to go home too. But, I thought about that, and I thought about, as I heard Brian's song, just that initial part of you, we often don't act the way or say the things that we should. And it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us. But oftentimes what is the second wound is what happens afterwards. And it's not because we don't know that we did something wrong, or we don't realize that we did something wrong, but it's what comes afterwards. And I think that's where I was going to speak on what I felt led to speak on today. Because we're told why it happens in Romans. And so in Romans 5, it talks about, we don't understand what we do. This is Romans 5:15. For what we want to do, we don't do. And what we do, we hate that we do it. But if we say we don't want to do it, we agree that the law is good, and it's no longer I who do it, but it's the sin living within me. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For I do not do the things I want to do, but the evil I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. I cut the people off. We say things in the car when in our little car that no one can hear. Maybe if they read lips, they would probably see what we're saying. We get frustrated with people. So I find this is at work in me. Although I want to do what is good, evil is right there with me. But in my inner being, I delight in God's law. And I see that another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. And I'll save the rest for towards the end, because the rest part is where we're going to go with it. But again, we get convicted by the Holy Spirit, and we feel, oh, we've done something we ought not to have done, and how do we handle that? And I think this is where the enemy, Satan, gets an opportunity. The door is opened for him to have an impact in our life. And what do I mean by that? And I know this is probably going to be very common to everybody else, but I had not seen it put this way before. But does everybody know, like, the word Satan, what it means? It's actually a Hebrew word that can be translated as the accuser. So we look back at the book of Job, it talks about Satan the accuser is going around, and he's going to accuse the brethren. He is going to lay charges against them. He's going to show them that what they're doing is not worthy of God. We're not worthy to be called God's people. And this is what he does. He drives a wedge, and we've talked about this amongst some of the smaller groups within the church, and just in two ways. One, in the first way, he drives an attack on us by pushing us away from two groups, I guess you could say. The first group is he pushes away from God, being the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God will try to isolate us from that power, because he knows if we were to reconnect with that, then we would see what God's true plan is and why it is that we feel bad and what we're supposed to do about it. He tries to show us that we've sinned and what we've done is so bad that we're not worthy. We can't make it up. We can't be reconciled. And while it's true that what we've done is bad, we see, much like elsewhere in Scripture, that this is just Satan's way of taking a truth that God has given, but only giving half of it. You know, you see in the Garden of Eden, did God really say this? Can God really do this? Or even when Jesus was tempted by Satan, he says, hey, jump off the top of the temple. God's going to save you because he said this. But again, he only brings half of the truth. And the truth that he brings is, yeah, it is true that because of what we've done, we deserve to be separated from God. But what he doesn't bring is that we've got that gift of God, of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And that's the part that he won't tell us. And that's the part that he will try to hide from us. And that's the part that he will try to keep us from doing. Because he wants to keep us separated from God. He wants to keep us from God's word, which will give us the full truth. And he wants to keep us from that very thing, which will give us hope. Because it also says that in Romans as well, that God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, not while we had done everything right, but when we were still sinning, that's when Jesus died for us. That it wasn't for our sins that we did yesterday. It wasn't for my sin that I did yesterday or last week or last month, last year, but it's for the sin that I'm going to do tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. Again, not to say that it's not important or it's not relevant that we do sin, because it is, and there's much to be written about that as well, but we can't lose track of the fact that we're not perfect. We will not be perfect on this side of eternity, and we will continue to stumble and have issues. And I think that's where he doesn't want us also to see that as that's all going on, that even though he's going to accuse us, and even though we've got all of our actions and all of our bent and all of our intention is going to be contrary to his, that he doesn't want us to remember that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present, the future, powers, height or depth, or anything else in anything in creation could separate us from the God, love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Because if we knew that, then we wouldn't believe Satan's lies. We wouldn't believe his accusations, and we would move forward and be able to trust in God more fully. And that's not what he wants us to do. What else does he separate us from but his other believers? Because it's easy for us, it's easy as we see, you know, when they talk about just different things, if they can separate us, they can isolate us, then they can take us out one at a time. And we're much, much weaker when we're not together and we're not meeting together to share God's word. Because he also doesn't want us to know in God's word that we're called to serve as Christ's ambassadors. And that's what we do for each other. Because we know what it is to fear the Lord, we persuade others. We give them hope. We give them encouragement. We can point them back to God's word. So when we talk about what we're thankful for when we pray at our home, where we're always thankful that we have the ability, more than anything, to point each other back towards Christ. We're going to live out what it is that we do daily. And nobody knows more intimately about us than our family that's here on earth. All of our strengths and all of our shortfalls. But it's through those shortfalls that we can build each other up and point each other continually back towards Christ and remind each other of these truths that, of what I've already shared, is that nothing is going to separate us from God's love. And as we look at that, we have to be reminded constantly from each other that we are a new creation, that it all came from God, that he was the one who reconciled us to himself, It was not for anything that we had done, but for what he had done. And therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors, and we're making his appeal through us. He's making his appeal through us, that we're the ones who come and say it. And this is why we talk about that. How will they believe if they haven't heard, and how will they hear if someone doesn't go and tell them? And this is where we interact with each other, and it's not always going to the far corners of the earth. Sometimes it's going down the street. Sometimes it's making a phone call. And sometimes it's responding to a text message of someone who says that they're struggling. And what do we say in those times? We've had people reach out to us and said, I'm struggling with this, if they've had the courage to do so, because many times we don't want to. And how do we respond? And we respond with hope to encourage and restore them. We encourage them with God's truth from his word, because we know that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, at times rebuking with love, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, which we know God has prepared beforehand for us to do. So that's what Satan's trying to do, is to separate us from God's word, from interacting with God through prayer, and from other believers, to isolate us so that he can essentially separate us and keep us separated from the one thing that will restore us and will bring us a true hope and happiness. So how do we respond to that? How do we deal with that personally as the person who's having the struggle, or how do we deal with that as people who are in the church who see that happening? One is knowing that while it's true that the purpose that the law is going to tell us what we're doing is wrong, but it's important to know what God's word says about the purpose of the law, which is it was meant to turn us to repentance. It was meant there to show us that we did indeed need God, that we could not do it of our own strength, that we could not do it of our own volition, and we could not choose to do it on our own, but it was only through his strength and through reliance on the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we can do so. It's important to be reminded both to ourselves and remind others of the promises that we have in Scripture. That when we read in the gospel about Jesus asking us to take his yoke upon us, that it's easy and the burden's light, it's because we no longer have that burden of having to make ourselves righteous before God by our own works. But we are to rely on our faith in Jesus and on his works and on his righteousness to do so. And as individuals, when we harbor that guilt and we think about what I did was wrong, when we take it beyond just repenting back, I found that many times what I've done now is I've not taken Christ's yoke, but now I've set it aside and picked up my own yoke. And I've tried to live in my own righteousness and make it about me and what I did. And what happens now is you have that burden that just now gets heavier and heavier upon you as you try to please God through your own actions, which we know we can't do, which just drives you further from him. Instead, we need to, again, take up Christ's yoke, which is the faith in him, and believe in the words and believe in the truth, what he says, that while what we did is bad, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has separated that sin from us. That's how far he's separated what we've done from us. And not that we should discard it or not consider it or not turn from it, but we can't dwell on it and we can't stay there and we can't lose our hope in it, because that's what we're talking, what is talked about in 1 Peter when it talks about us being always prepared to make a defense for the hope that we have in us. Because that's what we see in the world. We see a bunch of people that are desperate, they're depressed, they're unhappy. And it's because they're looking for things and looking for hope in places that will never give them hope. Whether it's in their success, which will ultimately not give them fulfillment or hope. Whether it's in a relationship with someone else, which will inevitably fall short at times. Or any other one of the idols we set up for ourselves. What we can do is share the hope that we have in us, which is, it's not what I've done, and it's not because of any knowledge I have, but it's because I know the creator of the universe, and I know I'm in a right relationship with him because of his son, Jesus Christ. And so where does that leave? And I'll close with this one, this last section here is my easy example when I got up this morning was the traffic example, because we all like to have the one easy one that we can all admit to, like, well, this is the thing that I'm struggling with, and everybody goes, okay, yep, yeah, I know, traffic's horrible in Raleigh, don't go there. It's even worse in other places like New York City or Atlanta. But what really made me think about this more was as I looked at back over the last year after my son Stephen had been baptized, and I thought about how much time and energy I'd spent focusing on other things and working with him in getting ready for workouts, which were always good things to do, and spending time with him in school. But how much time did I spend with him discipling him to be and telling him about the hope that I have in me that is in Jesus Christ? And that's the hard one, right? Because who wants to admit that? And while there are steps I can make to do that, I also know that's not something I can do by myself. And so where do I go from here as I look at staying in God's word, sharing with him God's word and the hope I find in it, and the message I see in there and how it speaks to me and it speaks to my situation. I don't need fancy words, and in all cases, as I was getting ready for this morning, I realized I could pretty much just read almost the entire epistle of Romans, which applies so very much to my very own life. And that's all I would have to say. No other words. I could stand up here and just read the book, the letter to Romans, and that would be sufficient. Because it's not about fancy words, and it's not about being eloquent or having a fancy delivery. It's just about the truth and God's truth, and that's sufficient, and that's enough. It's Christ crucified, and that's all we need to know. I will put a plug in there for it, that I know that there are times we can be more connected within this group. And I hope there's ways we can do that. For the ladies, I think that they've done probably a much better job than the men have of this church, because we're easily distracted. And I don't cast stones anywhere and don't push blame anywhere. But again, it's something that probably should be said, that we need to get together and we support each other. I know that the ladies here are a lot more active in doing that than the men. So I'll take this as the last, as a, if you will, a paid political announcement, if you will, to come out on the 16th for the guys' night out. It's a chance for us to connect for the guys. The women are already doing it. You see their handiwork in the back. But we can't do this alone. And this is more important than anything I would be doing at the base, anything I'd be doing at my other job, or even providing a place to stay, or a place to live for my family, or providing for them. What's more important is providing for them the thing that will last and endure, which is the hope they will have by knowing their Savior, Jesus Christ. So that was not the driving example, but again, if anybody else has got a similar thought, then that's fine. If not, then it is always a challenge to come and speak before everyone else and to lay things bare. But I appreciate your time. And I appreciate your gifts from the people who are here thanklessly. And I appreciate the encouragement. And I would just pray that we would continue to encourage each other and point each other back to our Savior. Let us pray. Lord, there are many things we can do with our time, if it even is our time. There are many things we can do with what we say or how we say it or how we interact, Lord, but Lord, bring to our mind and keep at the forefront those things that are important. And when we're shown things by your Holy Spirit that are meant to direct us back to you, let us leave it there, Lord. Let us leave it that it is directing us back and pointing us back to you and to your goodness. Let us remember the whole of your truth, that while all have fallen short, that you still loved us. You still sent your Son here to die for us. And because of that, because of us confessing that he is the Christ and he is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to be reconciled to you, that is the purpose behind why you have us feel that we have done things we ought not to. And not to hold on to the guilt, but to live in light of that truth and to be ready to share that hope with those we meet, whether we know them as family, as friends, or they're merely a passing acquaintance. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.